Do you solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that you would take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which you are about to enter, so help you God. Congratulations. You're now members of the 114th...
I'm certainly not going to be 3.5 minutes at this point. And I had some notes, but that's what I usually do when I get up, the notes go away, and I try and speak from the heart. I've been watching this, and it's very frustrating. And first, let me say, there's no one that should go without health insurance. I have a daughter who has a disease for which there's no cure. None whatsoever. She will be lucky to live to her late 20s. So it's critically important that there be a method by which we can get some help to pay for treatment, not only for her, but for every child out there and every human being. But aside from that, I go to the gym every morning at about 6 o'clock, and I work out with my colleagues on the other side of the aisle and on my side of the aisle. The camaraderie is extraordinary. We joke with each other. We help each other in the weight room. We spot each other. We talk about our families. We even talk about politics. But it's civil. And I would really like to see the whole floor see how we operate in the American people, to see how we communicate with one another in that gym in the morning. And I'm asking that every person be civil. We've been called, Republicans have been called, Nazis, terrorists, people that don't want to take care of children and seniors. And that's wrong. We can have ideals, we can have a belief, but we need to be civil about it. And we need to give an example and show an example to the American people that we're adults, that we can have different views, and that's what a democracy is about. But we don't have to make it personal. We don't have to grandize it to get attention, to call names. So I'm saying to my colleagues, I'm reaching across. I have not done that. I will not do it. I will criticize my colleagues if they do it. But let's use this moment to show to the American people that we can have a dialogue, we can have arguments, but to keep it civil, because when it's all, the dust is settled, America is going to be better for it, and Congress is going to be much better for it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to AJC Radio Spotlight on Capitol Hill, where we bring the message of justice all around the world. And I don't know what's on your menu tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe a turkey pot pie, some roasted chicken, perhaps a half dozen biscuits down south. But I'll tell you right now, here in AJC Radio, we have a humdinger, and the menu gets better every time. Tonight, we will be featuring Congressman Tom Marino from Pennsylvania, making a difference across this nation. And what you heard there is just the tip of the iceberg. Hang on, folks, to your seat. AJC Radio ascends upon our nation's capital for Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday. Hang in there. We're coming right back at you. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Lamont Banks, along with Lisa Stewart, Cliff Stewart, and William Williams. And good evening to you from all of us and also the AJC Radio team as we get ready to take off on a journey. And that's to our nation's capital in regards to Spotlight on Capitol Hill. And Lisa, as you and I talked earlier in regards to our interview live from Washington, D.C., with Congressman Marino, this is a man of the people. Your thoughts on Congressman Tom Marino?
Well, Congressman Marino, he is one of the most friendly and down-to-earth congressmen I believe I've ever met. He's just one regular old guy. He's just one of the. I mean, I haven't met anyone like him. I don't think in all our time. I mean, we've had some really good interviews with some really great people. He's just the most down-to-earth and just It's like one of the guys. It's one of, well, your neighbor next door.
I tell you what, when we were there, Lisa, it was summertime, wasn't it? At least the weather was a little bit more decent.
It was November.
November, not too bad out there.
It wasn't bad out there.
And I'll tell you what, as I said to Congressman Marino, it sounds like we're at the barbecue kitchen, having some barbecue at the kitchen table.
Absolutely.
That's the type of conversation that we were having. And, folks, I'll tell you what, pull up a chair tonight, and it's absolutely informal, but very much informative, if you will, in regards to the information, the battles, Lisa Cliff William, that this man has gone through his on this outside of Congress, his leadership, his aggressiveness to fight and to bring about change, Lisa, even addressing personal issues in,
yes,
in his life.
Yes, yes.
What a great man. And tonight, folks, it doesn't get better than this. And we tend to say that every week, and it keeps getting better and better. Folks, he made a point, Lisa William and Cliff, at the beginning. He said, members of Congress have been called terrorists, folks that don't care about senior citizens. They've been called everything that you can think of in the book,
yeah,
in a negative way. AJC Radio started this initiative back in June of last year, Spotlight on Capitol Hill. The objective is that we believe the American people have a right to know the true men and women who are sacrificing, and it's not, Lisa, as it appears in other parts of media about these members of Congress, is it?
That's right. That's right. You see a lot of, you hear a lot of negative, a lot of personal negative slaps about different people. I mean, you get a lot of things going back and forth with people saying what they want to say and things that people just have their opinions that are out there of who these people are, and they really don't know. They're just spouting their opinions, but they don't really know who they are.
And they really don't. And, again, you know, our hats off to the members of Congress, the elected officials. And, Cliff, you had a comment on that?
Yeah, I think what most Americans don't understand is how hard the members of Congress work. I mean, we've been in D.C., and, you know, you see them up on C-SPAN here and there. But when you go there and you see them working until the wee hours of the night, they're voting at 10 o'clock Eastern time or midnight Eastern time, and then they're back there in the morning, 7, 8 o'clock, preparing for another vote. And that's what we are trying to do here on Spotlight on Capitol Hill, is make the American people understand that this is what Congress does. This is what they go through. This is how they spend their days. It's not just, you know, getting on television and saying something in front of a CNN, you know, anchor every once in a while. They do work there in Congress, and I don't think the American people even understand how busy their schedule is.
No, they don't. And, again, we've walked in the trenches on Capitol Hill and walked those halls of Congress, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of work going on there. There's a lot of efforts being made, and you're going to learn all about that tonight with Congressman Tom Marino as we shine the light on Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be a humdinger. So hang in there with us, folks. And if you want to call into the show tonight and have some comments, we welcome that. Call in 347-838-8976. That is 347-838-8976. And feel free to call us, folks. We'd like to hear from you. You know, if you have thoughts about the show tonight and just want to have your voice heard, every voice is important here on AJC Radio, and we appreciate that. At least the disclaimer for the folks.
Yes, just want to remind everyone that we're not attorneys and that a just cause does not provide any legal advice. You want to contact your personal legal advisor for all of your legal needs. Also, the opinions expressed by callers and guests do not necessarily reflect that of a just cause or AJC Radio. And as always, we want to thank you for tuning in and choosing to spend some time with us this evening.
Thank you, Lisa, for that. And we appreciate that. And folks, again, this is going to be a good show. Right now across the country, if you're wondering how the elements are faring across the nation, right now in Washington, D.C., 46 degrees, not too bad, mostly cloudy, 37 degrees and cloudy in New York City. But right here in the Rocky Mountains, Colorado Springs, 47 degrees and partly sunny. And, of course, in L.A., 63 and sunny. So some different temperatures out there. But, folks, we appreciate you folks joining us, and we appreciate all of our listeners, and we thank you so much for sharing some time with us. Moving on to the next topic, the other night, Lisa, we highlighted a story regarding Jasmine Lima Marin.
Yes.
And her husband, Rene Lima Marin, was sent back to prison after serving 10 years. He was out for six, complied with parole, got off of paper is the term they use. Mm-hmm. And he then, him and his fiance at that time said, we're going to wait until you're totally out of the system and we're going to get married and start a family. And they actually did that. And as a
bought a
home. Yeah, Lisa. Beautiful children, beautiful looking family. Go to AJCRadio.com and you can actually see the picture of the Lima Marin family. And Lisa, as a thief in the night, their life was taken.
Yes, it was.
And I don't mean that physically, but in every sense of the word, they came in with 10 officers dressed in black to take this man back to prison and said there was a clerical error involved. And some mistake was made. And we have found through our research and what we have done that the prosecutor in the case, actually who became a sitting judge, went out of his way to look up this man and see what was going on with him. And again, that sounds like a vindictive motive.
Absolutely.
Because I'm sure you have enough work to do in your courtroom to not worry about a man that went away 16 years ago.
That's right.
Pulled him up and gave the order that he be taken back to prison. We did also have Patrick Magero, the attorney for Mr. Lima Marin, who is fighting to set this man free. And Lisa, when you think about this, and I'll tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get involved, there's a petition for his release. Over 300,000 signatures have been signed on this petition asking for his release. And they intend to seek clemency or pardon from the governor, and that is Governor Hickenlooper. And if any of him or his staff is listening tonight, we ask that the governor take seriously this situation. There have been people who have been, and this is the truth, who were in prison for murder,
rape,
everything. That, and I know the governor pardoned a couple of people that I know of that was in for murder after 20 years. This man went into a video store. He admitted that he did wrong. He was 19 years old, nothing but a kid. Went into a video store with an unloaded weapon and demanded money. How in the world, after 10 years served, do you send him back for 89 years?
That is absolutely unheard of.
That is uncomprehendable.
And the thing that really gets you is you say, you know, you look at the so-called justice system in America, and it's supposed to be about transforming people's lives, rehabilitating them, preparing them to go back to society. And when you look at Renee and you look at who he became when he got out, that he understood that, you know, the mistake I made when I was 19, he fully owned up to it. And you listen to any of his interviews, he fully owns up to what he did. He's yep. sorry for it. But this man came out and became a viable member of his community. He reached out to children. He was he played a role at his church. He coached kids. He was a father.
Wow.
I mean, he became the model citizen, and not just a model citizen for his community, but also he became the poster child to what can happen after prison.
Sure.
And you take a man like that, where the prison system should, the state of Colorado should have said, look at the transformation in this man's life, but instead they go and they wrestle him back and say, we're going to put you back in prison for another 90 years. It's totally insane.
Well, the problem is they don't care.
That's true.
See, it's
That's
not
true.
About rehabilitation anymore.
Not at all.
It is about housing cattle. That's what it's about.
And making money.
And making money. You might as well get a group of cattle, house them, put them in a warehouse, and say, okay, graze for yourself. We're not worried about whether you live or die. This is what America has come to. This is what the state of Colorado has come to. That when a judge makes a statement to a man who has made the change that he's supposed to hold up and honor the oath that he took, to make the statement he had no right to get married, he had no right to buy a house. He had no right to start a family. What gives anybody, any human being, the right to say such nonsense and craziness to a man who has proven, which when you sit on your bench in their courtroom, you tell people to get their lives together. You tell people to do this and to do that. Then you have a prime example of a man that does it. And did exactly, complied with parole. Let me tell you something. In the state of Colorado, complying with parole, complying with the halfway house and the rules and the regulations that are put on inmates is unreasonable. This man came out and did it perfect. Perfect. So, ladies and gentlemen of America, if you think this can't happen in your city, your state, think again. The American justice system has lost her way. And unless we stand up, unless we fight and say, you know what, this cannot continue, it may be your brother or your husband taken from you or your wife taken from you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is about getting involved. We ask you to go to AJCRadio.com, and you'll have a link there that you can actually go out and sign the petition for the release of Mr. Rene Lima Marin. And we ask you to do that. Lisa, any closing thoughts on that as we move on?
Just to everyone who can, I mean, if you have any kind of heart or any kind of feeling whatsoever, if you look at that story, there's no way you're not going to be compelled to sign that petition and do your part and whatever you can do to try to help to make that happen, because it's unheard of. It's just, it's a horrible injustice they're doing to this family, and we have to do, everybody should be doing, trying to do their part.
And that's the bottom line. And Jasmine, if you're listening tonight, and Mr. Magero, our thoughts and prayers are with you, your family, and we'll continue to seek justice as we do here on AJC Radio. Going to some current news right now. And William, you and I talked earlier. If you know anything about football here in America, there was a gentleman by the name of Lawrence Phillips. Now, my understanding, William, he came out of the Ohio. Is that correct? The
University of Nebraska.
It was in Nebraska.
It was in Nebraska. Cornhusker.
A very, very good football player. I remember following him and actually went into the NFL. We give our condolences, send our condolences out tonight to his family. William, you want to go ahead and share with the people what happened here?
Well, as of it was reported yesterday that actually he was found unresponsive in his cell. So many people that follow that, you kind of pointed out, had Lawrence Phillips was facing new charges in regards to his cellmate actually being murdered. And so he was actually facing that, and now they found him unresponsive of apparent suicide. The thing here that really kind of stood out is that the corrections officers had no, or it says here, did not say what led them to believe of him committing suicide. So he was just found unresponsive in the prison.
But that's what they say about everybody who dies in prison.
Well,
if you died in prison, he committed suicide.
Yeah, well, see, that the reason why we brought this up is because most people don't realize, and the nature of this show, the reason for this show is shining spotlights, you know, on the environment, on the prisons, and saying, right, you know, what kind of environment these guys are actually in.
Right.
So.
No, without question. And ladies and gentlemen, if you think that prison is a and William, he was at what prison? What state was that?
Was actually in California. He was in. I just saw it here
you
for
said it
a
was,
second.
You said it was a maximum facility.
It was a level 4 maximum security prison in California. That he was in
Kern Valley
State Prison. State Prison.
And folks, I guarantee you, it's not a picnic at any prison you go to, let alone in the big cities, California, Chicago, places like that. But prison is prison, and the threat of life on a daily basis as an inmate is very, very real. I'm not going to speak to what caused his death. I don't know the details of that. I think it's a tragedy that our justice system, and this is just, it is what it is, and the statistics show it. Prison is a place of desolate measures, desolate location. It's a place where hope is lost, which tells us that the way our prisons are ran is not the way they should be. If somebody's in prison, what desperation cry do they make to the point that they feel like, I've got to take my life because there's no hope, because it's not about rehabilitation.
Right.
It's no incentive to inmates to do better or to try to do better. You know why? It is a dogmatic oppression that resides in prisons across this country.
Well, I think
those are questions that have to be answered.
Well, and just to bring up that, I mean, to look at this point, it says right here, it says that prison houses 4,100 inmates.
Wow.
And was designed for a capacity of 2,400. So they are over 170%. So you're talking about, you know, packing them in there.
Well, and you're talking about people upset, people's tempers, everything you can think of that happens behind the wall happens. And lockdowns and humiliation and the different things. You can read more about that, folks, on any news network. CNN.com has the story about the death of Lawrence Phillips. Our condolences go out to his family, any siblings that he may have had, his mother, his father. Our prayers and thoughts are with you, and we're sorry, very, very sorry for your loss. Ladies and gentlemen, coming up here on AJC Radio, Spotlight on Capitol Hill, we take a trip and a journey to our nation's capital. We're going to bring to you tonight a live interview that actually took place there. Me and Lisa Stewart had the opportunity to talk to the congressman. Very, very nice gentleman. Folks, you know, this man, he knows, he's been everywhere. Lisa, we said before that all Americans have trodden, if you will, and he has walked some places. A former factory worker.
He came up like most of us came up working.
Absolutely, and I tell you, he has a connection with the American people and what's going on. And again, that interview, was a pre-taped interview that we had with him a few weeks ago. We're going to get to have the opportunity to hear that, share that with our listeners, folks. Hang in there. Right, folks, grab something to drink, maybe some hot chocolate. Temperatures seem okay. Maybe we'll get a glass of lemonade and perhaps something else to have with that. We're coming back here to AJC Radio, where we shine the light on Congressman Tom Marino. This is Spotlight on Capitol Hill. Hang in there. We're coming right back at you.
Anyone who's been sent to prison who's innocent? The United States is experiencing record numbers of exonerations in cases where people were wrongfully convicted of crimes they did not commit. If you believe that no one should be sent to prison for crimes they didn't commit, there is something that you can do today. By remembering a just cause with a monthly, annual, or one-time donation, you can help in the fight against wrongful convictions. Call a just cause at 855-529-4252 or visit a-justcause.com and click the donate button. A Just Cause is a 501c3. Wrongful convictions are wrong. Let's be the voice of those who can't speak from behind the wall.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
Do something good for your community.
Reuse bags and bottles and always recycle.
Help us collect 1 million pounds of food.
Help people prepare for natural disasters.
Do something about homelessness.
Anyone can be a rock star in their community.
So then do
something. Do something.
Do something.
Do something.
Visit dosomething.org to find out how.
Messages about women and violence. I need a little clarification.
Uncle Bill, how am I supposed to grow up to respect women when I have such lousy role models?
Boys are never going to approach you.
Can you help me reshape my attitude towards women?
You need to teach them that violence against women is wrong.
Can you imagine spending 20 years of your life in prison for a crime you didn't commit? Neither could I until I got the opportunity to portray Betty Ann Waters in the film Conviction, telling the real story of how she freed her brother Kenny. Sadly, what happened to Kenny happens far more often than you might expect, but together we can stop it. Please join me in helping the Innocence Project fight injustice. Go to innocenceproject.org to make a donation and get involved.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. I'm Lamont Banks, along with Lisa Stewart, Cliff Stewart, and William Williams. And tonight, Spotlight on Capitol Hill, we shine the light on Congressman Tom Marino, and we have been overwhelmed, William, with the information on on Congressman Marino. What a great individual, a man that has fought back from some serious challenges, if you will, in his life, and still managed through all of the challenges that he has had to endure to shine as a beacon of light in our nation's capital on Capitol Hill. And your thoughts, William, on Congressman Marino. We're just going to just kind of give a little teaser out there to the folks. Give us a little bit about your thoughts about the congressman.
Well, I really thought, you know, like my colleagues here, you know, he's very impressive. I mean, he comes from, very much a blue-collar family, working Pennsylvania, and learned that, hey, you know, to better myself, I'm going to have to do some education. I'm going to have to really, really invest in me. And so now he's turned around and invested in the community. He fights for a lot of issues. He's very diligent. And really champions a lot of causes. And I think that's the great thing about him. He is a working man's congressman, you know, so he understands, you know, what a lot of families have gone through, so you can come to him, you could talk to him about situations that you're facing personally, and he can relate to them.
Relate to that. And I think, William, good point. We talk a lot about the relatability, if you will, of members of Congress. Can they relate to the constituents? And being Lisa and Cliff, when we're on there on the Hill in Washington, we make the statement very clear, no matter what office we go into, I call myself their constituents. Because the decisions and the things that they do on the Hill do not strictly affect the districts in which they come from.
That's right.
These are laws that affect all of us as the American people, which he made very, very clear in his interview. And we're going to get into that interview momentarily. We want to pause for a moment and give our condolences to Senator Tim Scott. His grandfather passed away this morning at the age of 94. And our condolences go out to Senator Tim Scott and his family. We wish you the best in recovering from such a loss, and our prayers and thoughts are going to be with you on that as well. Going forward, Lisa, we had an opportunity, and I don't want to get into it until as we get into this show. Some of the congressmen's one of the congressmen's daughters.
Yes, his daughter Chloe
is, and you heard in the beginning of the clip, folks. If you missed it, says that there's a chance she may not even live to the age of 24. I believe Lisa he
yeah,
stated.
She's not expected to last very long.
And so as we get into some of the legislation, I believe there, Lisa, there is some legislation that currently is active right now that is being put in place in regards to research as far as and even promoting the I believe there's a hospital. We'll get in more into that after you folks have a chance to hear the interview, but where they're pushing for information and education about the different things that happen as a result of these type of illnesses that take place, the things that can affect a household in such a negative way. And Lisa, when we met Congressman Marino, you never knew that he was dealing with anything other than doing the people's business in Washington.
No, not at all. You would never know he had his own personal tragedies that he's dealing with his daughter's health, with his own personal health, with having been a three-time cancer survivor. I mean, having cancer hit him three times and he's still going.
Well,
you never would have known that he'd been through all that. You never would have guessed it.
I mean, he's not lagging around like, oh my God, I can't move. What am I going to do? He walks in the office. Hello, folks. How you doing? He's upbeat. He's an example.
He had more energy than I did.
So that speaks to the character of the man. And ladies and gentlemen, we all face challenges in our lives that to make us or to bring us to a point of strength and courage. We have seen that, Lisa, with Congressman Marino. It is unbelievable what we observed in his office. And we give a very, very special thank you so much to Congressman Marino for allowing us into your office there in D.C. and talking to us. And right now, folks, hang on to your seats. We're getting ready to take you to that interview, which impacted me and our colleagues here in a very, very good way. Let's hear what Congressman Tom Marino had to say. Congressman Marino, how are you?
I'm doing well. Just call me Tom, please.
Sorry.
You told us that before.
Yeah, I apologize. Out of respect, Congressman, that's why we address you as that.
I appreciate that. But around here, when somebody hollers Congressman, 435 people turn around thinking they're the only one in the hallway.
No, I got you on that. And I appreciate you taking a few minutes, Ryan, to express to us in regards to the voting madness on Capitol Hill right before the nice Christmas holiday. So thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us. We had some issues with the other recording, so we'll just get started. Ladies and gentlemen of America, tonight we have Congressman Tom Marino, and he has admonished me to address him as Tom. So you will hear us, and that's in no way of any lack of respect for the Congressman's hard work on Capitol Hill. And Congressman Marino, we thank you for joining us, and happy holidays to you and all that good stuff. We'll get that out the way. First of all, Congressman, we have talked a little bit in regards to Spotlight on Capitol Hill, shining the light on what you've done. We had the privilege of being out there in Washington, D.C., and meeting you in person, and it was a real honor and our privilege to meet you. Tell the American people a little bit about what motivated you to step into public service at the level that you are. What was the thing that drove you to get involved in this and where you thought a difference could be made?
Okay, to make a long, boring story short, I worked in a factory until I was 30, worked my way up to mid-level management, started sweeping floors, but was overlooked for a promotion because I didn't have a degree. So 2 weeks after my 30th birthday, I started school, and my wife and I got me through college and law school in 5 years, and most of my career has been a prosecutor. I was in private practice for a few years, but I was a state's attorney in Pennsylvania, and I was a U.S. attorney with the Bush II administration. And I did corporate law for a while, but the pay was good, but the work was boring. And I'm tired, and I was concerned and still am the direction in which the country is traveling. So I decided to put my money where my mouth is and get here to D.C. and try to be one of a group of 535 people that should be doing something to improve the quality of life for all Americans.
Oh, no, and I'll tell you what, you're definitely stepping out and doing that. We understand as well, Tom, you are a member of the Judiciary Committee, is that correct?
Yes, Judiciary, Homeland Security, Foreign Affairs, and I'm Vice President of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization Parliamentary Assembly.
Okay, and we have found, we had the opportunity to discuss some things, and we were talking before, Tom, in regards to accountability in our judicial system right now as members of Congress are looking for judicial reform, prison reform, criminal justice reform, all of those things that seem to matter so very much. As you've seen some of the things happening across our country over the last several months, really over the last year, as we reflect on 2015, how important is that a directional change happen in our judicial process? And holding members of the judiciary, not members of the Judiciary Committee, but workers that work in the court, in the judicial system, holding these people accountable, that has created somewhat of this spiral out of control, if you will, of our overcrowding in prisons and all of these things, and prosecutors maybe not doing what they should do. How important is that a directional change happen, and happen now as we on the brink of a new election and a new president of the United States?
You know, that is a strong ethical, moral judicial system is the linchpin of our society. It's the backbone. And I hold law enforcement people, judicial people, to a higher standard than just mainstream America, because we need to be setting an example, and a very high example, of what justice is, what freedom is, and what our role in a civilized society is. So as a prosecutor, that's probably the most important job I think that any person can have, because you have someone's life in the palm of your hand. And I always looked at it and made sure that my assistants and that my investigators looked at it as if they were investigating, having to investigate or prosecute one of their own family members, one of their children. And I think you start to take a little different approach. You know, I had a professor, my mentor in college, say to me after I got elected to district attorney, my job was to seek justice. And that's what we're supposed to do, seek justice and stability.
Mm-hmm. And I think that point, Tom, is well taken, because I believe they are should be at a higher standard, if you will, and held accountable. Because
yes.
Americans look to these folks as the leaders of our judicial system, and if fairness is taken out of the equation, as you allude to here, well, we might as well throw out the Constitution and everything else for fairness.
We are the defenders of the Constitution. Law enforcement, the courts, we're the guardians of the Constitution. And we enforce it, but we enforce it with wisdom. And if there's a prosecutor out there who is prosecuting to make a name and career for himself or herself to further their career, they should not be a prosecutor. They should not be a judge, because the judge certainly must be impartial. And as I said just a few moments ago, the prosecutor has to make sure that they seek justice and not revenge or vengeance.
And that is so very important. And I agree with you, Tom, when you start bringing that into courtrooms, it's not like going into a corporation where you have to have the fire to negotiate or the fire to make things happen, whether you're, you know, competing with another organization or the company. If that sets into the judicial system, which is supposed to be a separate whole moral, like as you say, issue of ethics and morality and justice, and it becomes big business. When our judicial system becomes big business, we have a major problem.
There's no doubt about that. I always refrained from discussing any investigation that I was having. There would be media would say, I mean, I understand that you have this investigation going on, or I understand if you have that investigation going on. And I simply said, I don't discuss what investigations I may or may not have, because what happens on occasion, there can be an investigation and an arrest, but then eventually you may find out, a prosecutor finds out, wait a minute, there is no evidence here to prosecute this individual, and we are all innocent until proven guilty by a jury of our peers or by a judge. So just the mere statement that someone is under investigation already puts a target on their back. They're already ostracized, even though they're acquitted or even though the charges are dropped. People will still look at that individual and say, you know, he was arrested for this or she was arrested for that, and there was no conviction. So that's why I was very cautious about not discussing that stuff. And when there was a conviction, I kept it very minimal. And because it wasn't, you know something, it wasn't a thrill for me to put people in jail. It was a very heart-wrenching thing to put people in jail, because I not only had to deal with that defendant, those individuals, but their families as well, and the victims as well. So, you know, there are no winners in this whole scheme. It's just that we are here to keep order, and we have to do it as wisely as possible.
No, absolutely. And you mentioned earlier, Tom, in regards to your role as a member of the House Committee on Homeland Security, and I'll ask you this question. Based upon the talk everywhere, at American water coolers, at lunchtime, in restaurants, at the kitchen table with the family, is the threat of ISIS on the homeland. This is something that was just conversation several months ago, and they were targeting international folks in the Middle East and doing what they're doing, but now they are making their way to the United States. And your thoughts, Congressman, as you are on the House Committee on Homeland Security, says here, you make the statement, I'm dedicated to ensuring that the lives of Americans are protected in the United States and abroad. How important right now is Homeland Security, as we saw do over the summer, even the threat of the DHS being shut down for funding? Where are we at as a nation when something that is so important in our country to protect our children and our grandchildren, that we that it's even on the table that they're just even at the threat of being shut down. How concerned should we be as citizens?
There should be actually even no talk about that. And most of that is political in nature on both sides of the aisle. Someone will get up and statement politically without considering what the ramifications are going to be, without considering what the public's going to think about this. There is, I'll be the first guy to stand in line and say there should be absolutely no reason that we should shut down any law enforcement agency, only in security or otherwise. But more importantly, we shouldn't even be talking in that context because, when people start hearing talk like that, they don't understand what goes on in D.C. They think that what some people do think what we do here is gospel, but it's irresponsible to even suggest that because it starts people to worry and it starts a panic. So we should just completely stay away from that. And many times the media doesn't help us on that either because they want a juicy, a salacious line or two. And they will start running with, well, it's there's going to be a shutdown, Homeland Security will be shut down. And even if there is a slowdown in the government, I'm one and have stood in and voiced my opinion that out of all the agencies that exist, there are several that have to continue to operate just out of national security and Homeland Security and Justice are just, a couple of them.
No, absolutely, and I'll tell you this, and we are respectful, Congressman, if you have to go, I understand things are going, please interject and let us know, and we're not going to keep you too much longer. A question on a personal matter, we see here that this is back in 2011, becoming part of the, I believe it's the Kidney Caucus.
Yes.
Tell the folks a little bit about that. We see here a two-time survivor. Of kidney cancer.
Three times, isn't it?
Is it three times? I'm sorry, Lisa. Was it three times, Congressman?
Yeah, three times. I've been lucky.
Talk to the folks of what pushed you, and I think it's admirable that is, tell the American people a little bit about that.
Well, it's not only the kidney cancer aspect. It's dialysis that many people cannot afford, and I don't like to even hear the fact that someone doesn't get medical treatment because they can't afford it. That's ridiculous. If there is someone in this country and the people in this country that can't afford health care that I get or that someone else gets, then we as human beings, we have to take care of those people and see that they get the same good quality treatment that I have been getting. And I was diagnosed in 1999 with kidney cancer. And to make a long story short, in 99 they took out half of my left kidney, and then it came back in 2009, so they took the rest of my left kidney out, and then in 2012 it came back in my right kidney. So I'm dealing with surviving on one half of one kidney, but thank God that's functioning. And so I'm out there working to make sure that the National Institute of Health gets money for scientific research. And I'm out there making sure that all people have access to dialysis, whether they can afford it, and transplants. And there was a girl in my district that needed a transplant. And there was a controversy about it because they were saying, she was too young to receive an adult kidney. And we went to bat, several of us here went to bat, we were starting to propose legislation because I know from my experience that, believe it or not, even there can be what's called a partial kidney transplant. So if a small child needs a kidney or a liver and there is one available but it's only from an adult donor, the science and technology that we have today can utilize one kidney or one liver to help two people who need transplants or three people who need transplants. And finally, we got that squared away.
Well, that's awesome. And Tom, I'll tell you right now, and ladies and gentlemen of America, make no mistake about it, Given what Lisa and what the congressman is talking about in regards to what he is personally talking about, what he's personally engaged with, is amazing that the fight continues.
Yes.
And unless you would have told me, Tom, that you were dealing with this outside of looking it up online or whatever, your spirit, the human spirit in Tom, in Congressman Tom Marino is out, is over the top.
Yes, it is.
Because you would never know it.
I mean, you know, I came from a lower middle class family, and my father and mother taught me a great deal, but I've been lucky in my life. I mean, if I hate to put it this way because some people think it sounds too morbid, but if I drop dead today, I have lived a life better than 99.9% of the people on earth. And we all have our crosses to bear. I have a daughter. My children are adopted, but I have a daughter who has cystic fibrosis. And that's a disease there's no cure for yet. And I'm pitching hard out there for children with CF that we continue the research. And we can do that. In this. Two of the biggest goals that I have in this country is making sure that we have a well-funded, a well-operating healthcare system and an education system. Two critically important issues that are at the top of my list, because without either of those, what kind of life would we have? So we have to focus on education and focus on health care. And if I can throw a little pitch out here, sure. People should take into consideration, if you can pick an organization, pick a healthcare organization, cancer or children's, and if you can find somehow to contribute time or resources. But here's something else that I'd like people to consider. Donate your body organs when you pass. Get it on your license. Fill out a card. Most states have you can put it on your license. And people don't understand how many lives that they will save once the good Lord decides to take them. But how many other people will live, children, adults, just by donating their organs, their eyes, their heart, their lungs, their liver, you name it. Today, science can work miracles. So please consider being an organ donor.
And I'll tell you this, Congressman Marino, we're going to go a step further here at AJC Radio, and Ryan can get the information of the organizations that you are actively a part of. We will do public service announcements on doing our program, we'll put it out there. Exactly what you just said. Have Ryan put together something for us. Those organizations that are passionate to you, he'd like us, that PSA, to focus on, we would say to our listeners, ladies and gentlemen, Congressman Tom Marino is about this. We want to give you an opportunity, the importance of donating organs, and have that set up to save the lives of others. And we will run that continually, Lisa, during our program and to our viewers across this nation. And we will also post something on our website that speaks to that issue as a way of giving back and appreciating, Congressman Marino, what you are doing. I think it's about us coming together, Lisa, right?
It is, absolutely.
Okay, does that sound good to you, Congressman?
That sounds great. It's just, something we elected officials, primarily we elected officials, we need to check our egos at the door, and we need to focus on one thing, and that is improving the quality of life for Americans and also for people around the world. And
wow.
That's awesome.
You know what? I said it once, Tom, when we were there in Washington, perhaps in getting you on the ticket, as we are looking at the Republican National, the Republican debate last night, I think what you speak to, Tom, is, hey, I must have hit comedy hour on the show. That's not going to happen, huh?
No. Let's get this job done first. Unfortunately, some people have turned politics into late night entertainment.
Absolutely.
And it's okay. There's some times where you just need to laugh about something, or you'll go crazy.
No, I agree.
I'm serious about this. Check the ego at the door. And one thing that I am pushing, among other things, very hard here in D.C. are term limits. I think we need term limits in the House and in the Senate, and after 12 years, get out. There's always somebody coming up behind you that's just as smarter and has just as much fire in the belly. Give someone else a chance. Give the younger generations a chance to get in and mold policy and contribute to improving also the quality of life.
Well, that's excellent. And the last statement I'll make right now, Congressman Marino, in respect of your time, we understand that you are working with Ryan had shared with me and working with another a fellow congresswoman in regards to the youth, some youth movements going on there. We're extending an invitation for you folks to come back together on our show next year. Are you open to that so we can get that message?
Yeah, she's my next door neighbor. It's Karen Bass, an African American woman from California, who was, by the way, the first female speaker of the House of Representatives in the state of Washington. And Karen and I chair co-chair the Foster / Adoption Caucus, where we want to get people to adopt older children that have been in foster care for a long time. I'm a foster care parent myself. It was a big brother. Karen and I just, you know, we have a mission, and we have such respect for each other that we don't look at each other as a Republican or a Democrat. We look at two people that are driving to protect the interest of our children and to give our foster children a loving home, a permanent loving home.
Wow. Congressman Marino, I'll tell you what, at this time of the year, there's a shortage of halos that are going out. I'll tell you what, you actually must have one already assigned to you and your family for the things that you are doing. Lisa gives you goosebumps and makes you feel really American at this time of the year. That's awesome.
It's great things that you're doing, that you're working towards. It's really admirable to see the things that are important to you that you're really fighting for and working for.
Absolutely.
Well, if people would see that what I have seen over my career as a prosecutor, what I have seen as on foreign affairs and homeland security around the world and in this country, the way some people have to live and what they go through, it's not a pretty sight to see, but I wish every American could see it, because I know their attitude would change about complaining about how bad they have it and realizing quickly there are many other people that have it 1,000 times worse than they do. So we need to keep that in mind.
Well, that's awesome. And Congressman Marino, I'll tell you what, we're looking forward to having you and Congresswoman Bass. On our program. Please make that happen as soon as you're ready. We'll be ready here at AJC. We'll have you folks call in, and we will get that message out to the American people in regards to that. And that, I think that is so critically important in a time when people are wondering who cares about those that are hurting and those that are less fortunate. And I think that's an awesome thing that you're doing right there, and we appreciate that. Last statement, and I'd like you to just comment. As you look at the Republican candidates, if you will, last night again saw that interview. What are your thoughts, and you don't have to commit to any one, what are your thoughts of the necessary things that we need to see, at least to restore trust and belief, if you will, in the American people on those who are attempting to become the next president of the United States? What do you see with those current candidates that we have?
Well, first of all, I have not watched a single debate, and I refuse to do that on either side. There'll be enough time. There's a lifetime. But, you know, we need somebody who can look directly in the camera and look into America's eyes and tell them from the heart, this is what I will do to the best of my ability to improve the quality of your life. That's what we have to do. We have to be able to reach across the aisle. But my position's always been, I will reach across the aisle halfway. I expect the other side to reach across the aisle halfway as well. But if we just make decisions based on how it will affect our own children, our family, you would see many things be accomplished around here differently than what they are. But we get this political scheme in our mind, and we start to go off the deep end. So I'm hoping whoever the candidate is, whoever becomes president, a Republican or a Democrat, I hope they keep this one thought in mind. They are a servant to the people of the United States, and it's their responsibility to see that they improve life for people in the country.
Well, that's awesome, Congressman. Thank you so much, Tom, for taking some time with us today. A very Merry Christmas to you and your family. Our thoughts and prayers go with, I believe it's Courtney, isn't it? Your 19-year-old daughter, adopted daughter? Is her
Chloe.
Name
Chloe.
Chloe? I'm sorry, my mistake. Right. We wish you folks the best in the holiday season, and we are honored, as always, to speak to you. We may be in Washington, D.C. in the next couple of months. I'd love the opportunity to sit down with you again. We do have some information, Congressman, that I'm going to send out to you in regard to your statement you made in regards to accountability. We have a poster child case that you may have some interest in. If that's okay, we're going to forward that information to your staff.
Sure. And I'll have a nice little anecdote to tell you, because my daughter, who will be – she didn't know last time we talked. She's almost 21, and she has a boyfriend, and Dad is having a real rough time dealing with that. So that's a whole new issue in and of itself that we'll discuss.
Well, you got to have them over for Christmas dinner and do the interrogation there around some turkey and ham. How's that sound?
I've already begun that process, believe me.
Okay. Congressman, take care. Have a good holiday. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We look forward in our endeavors together in the year to come. We appreciate you so very much.
Thank you, and God bless. Take care.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. And ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Lisa, Congressman Marino, wow. Doing some things in spite of his current situation. And we're finding that what he's doing, he's using his current circumstance that motivates him to reach out even further to make a difference.
Yeah, it pushes him along. It keeps him going. It keeps him moving. As some people would stop as a result of their circumstances, but he takes what's going on in his life and his personal issues and tragedies, and if you want to call them such, and he's using them to continue to move forward and strive for greater things.
Well, I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, in Pennsylvania, you definitely got it right in sending Congressman Tom Marino to our nation's capital to make a difference. And he's doing just that. And we'll be right back. Spotlight on Capitol Hill, where we honor tonight Congressman Tom Marino making a difference in our nation's capital and around the world. We'll talk to you soon.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness
are all courtesy of the heroic men and women of the United States military.
They give so much, and they ask so little.
I'm Joe Bontaine.
I'm Jack Scalia.
I'm Nick Searcy.
I'm Bonnie Jo Laughlin.
I'm Scott Elrod. Please help me thank our heroes by doing something.
Donate your time, talent, or gifts
to groups and organizations devoted to our troops and their families.
Visit a veteran's hospital.
A smile, a hug,
a shoulder, a handshake,
or even an attentive ear goes a long, long way.
Quite simply, give.
They'll sincerely appreciate it.
And it just might do wonders for you, too.
Remember, freedom isn't free.
Freedom isn't free.
Freedom isn't free. Get involved.
Give back now.
God bless America.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I ask you a question? Did you know that there are over 2.4 million people behind bars in the United States? I'll ask you one more question. Were you aware that that is the highest number of people behind bars in the entire world? The United States makes up of only 5% of the world's population, but we have over 25% of the world's prison population. America prides itself on being the most advanced and progressive nation on earth. However, sadly, we are also the world's most archaic. I'm going to give you a personal invitation to get involved with the fight against mass incarceration. Take a few moments to call 1-855-529-4252. That is a just cause. And we fight for justice. Again, call a just cause today. Don't delay. Call 1-855-529-4252. It is time, and I say high time, that we take America's incarceration seriously. Won't you join us? Call today.
Not only does texting while driving significantly reduce your reaction time, but you are also 10% more likely to leave your lane. This commercial was 30 seconds. That's all it takes to avoid a senseless tragedy.
I want to thank you all for being here. Mr. Tamarisi, to you and to your family, from my family, we pray for Andrew daily. And Chairman, I ask unanimous consent to enter into the record a letter that I wrote that I dated July 10th of 2014 to the Ambassador of Mexico to the United States of America, respectfully asking for the immediate release of Sergeant Tamarisi. Could I have this letter unanimously entered into the record?
Without objection, to order.
I did not receive a response. Again, ma'am, my staff and I will assist the chairman in any way needed or any way in which he requests to continue to work on the release of your son. As Lieutenant Commander Williams said, you and your son and veterans deserve more, have a right to more, and we need to see that that is accomplished. I apologize for how inappropriately you have been treated, and I apologize for the inappropriate level of concern by the White House. I'm truly disappointed in that. The President said on numerous occasions he has a pen and a phone. He can do what he wants. So at this time, Mr. President, I'm asking you to use your pen and your phone that you so continually tell the American people that you're going to use. I'm disappointed that you have to be here today, ma'am. I'm disappointed that vets have not received the appropriate care that they should be receiving in this country. And the President needs to step up and show you the proper attention.
Well, wow. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday. Well, tonight we have shined the light on Congressman Tom Marino from Pennsylvania. And I'm at a loss for words about the man. Congressman,
yes.
Tom Marino.
Yeah, he.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Lisa.
No, I'm at a loss too, Lamont.
You know, folks, we say all the time on this program that there are champions of justice, champions of the human spirit. Congressman Tom Marino, William, fits the mold.
Yes, he does.
Of a humanitarian. We tend to show honor to humanitarians. These are people who impact the world as a result of their conviction, their moral compass, if you will, to do the right thing. Meeting Congressman Tom Marino and hearing, ladies and gentlemen, that interview tonight, William, what does that leave you with? I mean, it's a sense of seriousness in the studio tonight, folks, but You stand at all. Do people exist that truly care about their fellow man? Congressman Reno shows that.
Yes, he does.
And
yes, he does.
He's not showing it in any type of talk.
Well, it really started with him. During that interview, it started with him from the foundation, his family. He said his mother and father raised him up with these values. Even when we're reading through the information about him, he said his dad was a janitor and also a firefighter. So he comes from a very common place. You know, it's a place of struggle. It is a place of fighting. It's a place of appreciating what you have in hand. And see, you can take that experience and you understand the value of life. And that's what this man has. When he said at the end of it, he said he's lived a life better than 99% of the world.
Right.
I mean, you got to understand what he's saying. He says, listen, life is not about things. It's about the experience of living. And living with a family, the appreciation of love and wife and children. Basically, he's saying, you know what, I work so others can have what I have and appreciate.
That's awesome. And he goes further. Congressman Tom Marino, and I quote, says, I worked in a factory until I was 30, and I knew what it was like to work paycheck to paycheck to stretch a buck. I was sweeping floors in a bakery, worked my way to middle management, and by 21 got married and had a mortgage. Life has a tendency of growing you up. Congressman Marino has done his dad was a janitor. Society may frown on that, but the character that's built and what we hear from Congressman Tom Marino, Cliff, is a sense of not entitlement, a sense that he understands his constituents, he understands the American people, he understands the health issues and the struggle. He said it's pitiful that no one can get health care because they can't afford it. This is the core and the fabric of this nation. Your thoughts on that, Cliff?
One of the things that he said that really stood out to me is he said members of Congress need to, leave their ego at the door and come in with the resolve to say, I am here to work for the American people. And to hear a member of Congress say that, I mean, sure, we as the American people say, hey, they need to leave their ego at the door and do something for us. That's what they're there for. But for him to make that statement and to understand that we are here to serve our fellow man.
No, right there, Cliff, I want you to say that. He said, you are here to serve.
That's exactly what he said.
Go ahead.
We're here to serve the American people. It's not about, and he said even when he was a prosecutor and he talked about judges, said it's not about increasing your career.
Right.
It's not about your name in life. It's about serving your fellow man.
Oh.
And without that mindset, without, taking that position, then nothing gets done, because if everyone is about themselves, then no one really gets help. And to hear him say that, and not just say it, but you hear the things that he says on the floor. I mean, speaking up for this young man who's incarcerated in Mexico.
Yeah.
Speaking about those, like you said, that cannot afford, medical insurance. And just everything that he talks about, saying, look, I'm a poster child for a person who should be down and out. But he takes that, channels that energy, and says, he's had at least 3 surgeries for cancer. And he continues to run and push on and say, I'm here to serve my fellow man. I mean, this man, you're talking about a candidate for a spotlight.
He
is right here. This is a poster child for a spotlight on Capitol Hill.
Well, he made the statement, as we joked a little bit among ourselves, Lisa. You see somebody with this character, you immediately think we need him as leader.
Yes.
Of the free world.
Yes.
We say that often. I've said it to Congressman Rangel. I've said it to Congressman Hank Johnson. I've said it to a number of people. As we continue on this program, Spotlight on Capitol Hill, give the American people a real look into the person.
Right.
Yeah.
The person. These are human beings, folks. They feel pain just like you do.
Right.
When he made the statement, Lisa, about his daughter, Chloe,
yes,
that may not live to 24, and to say to still have that, dad and daughter's first, boyfriend coming home, and that's the stuff that happens in families and in America. And he's laughing, and he's jolly, and he's upbeat, and he's optimistic, and he's... Ladies and gentlemen, this is who you need in Congress. And we need to mold other, if we had the capability to clone, Congressman Tom Marino. And many of the people that that we have come in contact with that are making an impact in this country, and I'm overwhelmed, Lisa, with his demeanor, with his courage, with his perseverance to make a difference, to go to Congress. He said, well, I might as well throw my hat in. And Lisa, I think you shared the story. I think we were with him, and he said how he was sitting on the couch just pointing at the TV. And
yeah, he was yelling at the TV. And he said he would throw his pillows and everything at the TV, getting angry with the news, with people saying crazy things. His wife said, why don't you put your money where your mouth is? Quit talking about it. Do something. And the next month, he ran for Congress.
Absolutely. And folks, what an education this has been, and an eye-opener, if you will, Lisa, Cliff, William, of our members of Congress. It'll make you get down on your knees sometimes and say, you know, pray that we keep the leaders of our country in our prayers for the enormous responsibility laid at their feet to make a difference. And Lisa, you noted earlier, as far as the cancer situation, I mentioned in the interview that he was talking about the Kidney Caucus. Congressman Marino serves as co-chairman of the Congressional Kidney Caucus in order to educate members of Congress about the importance of health and the government's role in research funding for rare diseases. In addition to his role as co-chairman of the Congressional Kidney Caucus, Congressman Marino also serves as co-chairman of the Cystic Fibrosis Caucus. Tom also has teamed up with his close friend, colleague, congressional office neighbor. He talked about this, Lisa, Congresswoman Karen Bass.
Yes.
Our intention is to sit down, as you heard in the interview.
Yes, with the both of them together.
And the initiative of being a foster child.
Yes.
And how many runaways in our country that go down horrible paths because they don't happen to get placed in the right home, and there's abuse there. What an outstanding vision and purpose. We talk a lot of times in life, William, about a person having a purpose. Congressman Marino is fulfilling his purpose.
He is.
That's awesome.
He's
and definitely, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt William.
No, go ahead, Lisa.
But you know what, guys, when I look at Congressman Marino, and I think about, I mean, you look at his life and the way that he grew up, the way that he lived, he's going to relate more to the average working American citizen than a lot of people in Congress. I mean, this man, he said, by the time he was 21, he was married with a mortgage. And he said he believes wholeheartedly in student loans because he wouldn't have made it through college without student loans.
There you go.
He had student loans to pay his way all the way through college. He paid them all off in 9 years. But he said he would never vote for anything that would diminish student loans because he couldn't have made it. He wouldn't have got through college without them.
Well, Lisa, this is why, William, this is why, Cliff, why life experience is of such great value in achieving and accomplishing what Congressman Marino has done and what he continues to strive to do. Lisa, he told us in the interview when we were in D.C. In regards to working sometimes 26, 30-hour days at the factory. Well, folks, if you ever worked in a factory, that's no easy task.
Oh, no.
That is definitely some work involved. So, folks, I'll tell you right now, this gets you a real good feeling of America, in my opinion, that makes you feel at least optimistic that people sitting in Congress with the conviction, with the thoughts of Congressman Marino, and we believe that does, you know, it becomes, what do you call it, contagious with other members of Congress, say, man, there's something going on there in Congressman Marino's office.
Right. Well, I think it goes back to also what you said, grooming others to come up and replace him, you know, others to take on and champion causes. And I think that's why he said, you know, listen, you know, let's put term limits on. You know, if you can't get it done in 12 years, step aside because you're not going to get it done. And so I really look at a lot of what this man has done is because of his foundation. It's because of the way he was raised. One of the things that really kind of caught my eye was when, as the chairman of the Congressional Foster Youth Caucus,
yep.
You know, one of the things he says here, he says every child deserves to grow up healthy, safe, and loving home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But he goes on to, because he understands that his foundation, having his foundation, has made him who he is. So he says, knowing that a child grows up in a stable home, they are more likely to succeed as adults. So he understands that foundation. He understands that having those parents there, having some morals, having people there to help you, support you, love you. These are things that, I mean, no matter what we've talked about tonight, it's basically come from his family, be it his own health crisis. He said, you know what, I had a lot to live for. I have children.
Sure.
You know, and then his daughter, you know.
Right.
And so it continues. And his children are foster children, correct?
His children are adopted. He
adopted,
adopted them.
So, yep. So all these issues are hitting home for him. So he's obviously looking in the mirror saying, listen, if it's hitting home for me,
it's got to be
his others. So it goes back to what you said, Lamont.
No, absolutely.
You know, they're not just championing issues with their constituents. They're actually championing issues
for America.
For America.
Right. And I think that's the important aspect of the spotlight, is that you get to see who the man is. Before he's a member of Congress, before, you know, he was whatever political role he played before that, here is a man, a father, a hard worker, a factory worker.
Right.
Someone, I mean, this man knows what it means to come home with a backache from work and then have to get up the next morning and go out and do it all over again.
Well,
and that speaks volumes to the
sure.
American people to say, he is who I am. He goes out, he works hard, his money, he earned his money, and now when he's in Congress, he takes that mindset
sure.
and says, now I'm going to ensure that your hard-earned dollar stretches as far as it can.
And to your point of correction, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to get the factory Congressman Marino worked for in any trouble for violation of labor laws that he worked 21 to 30-hour days. There's only 24 hours in a day. So, folks, the point is, and forgive me for the I correct that now, 12, 14-hour days. We don't want to get the factory in trouble. Hopefully they're doing good in business there in Pennsylvania. So a correction on that. But, yeah, to your point, Cliff, you know, you don't know how it is till you get down in the trenches and understand what it means to, like he said, he lived paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm waiting, you know, I need to get some gas in the car. I got to put $1.52 in there to get me home. That happens in America.
Yeah, it does.
I was one of them. Pulled up and put $1.50 trying to get from to my next destination, folks. The point being, Congress, to have members of Congress say, "Look, man, I've been there. I understand what that means." You know, that means something. That's a relatable. That's how you can relate to the American people.
Well, Lamont, he even went as far as to say when we met with him in D.C. that he thinks every member of Congress should have to work in a factory for at least a year.
He did
before
say
they
that.
Come in there, before they come to work on that hill.
No,
go to a factory and work.
Yeah,
that would
know
be nice.
Know what it feels like.
That
get out there and know what it feels like to break your back in the factory.
And then when folks show up at your door on Capitol Hill, you feel a sense of the need to reach out.
That's right.
Because you do understand. I'll tell you what, folks. We've had many folks on this program, on Spotlight on Capitol Hill, Lisa, and I said it before, I'll say it again. They seem to keep getting better and better. And what a delight. And we intend to sit down, hopefully, with Congressman Marino here in the next few weeks to come and get some things going that
yes.
need to happen. And I'm so very, very grateful to, as we say all the time in this country, the children are our future. He is reaching out to the hurting. You know, it's not about, and everybody in America, there's somebody hurting. There's somebody suffering. There's somebody with challenges. There's somebody with an issue. And Lisa, for him to do that, coming again, as William stated, he was a foster child. I believe that's what he stated. He grew up or adopted, I believe, is what he mentioned. But he grew up in a situation. Go ahead, William.
No, his children. I believe that's correct.
He wasn't
adopted, but he was saying that his children are foster children
from his personal experience.
And he was a big brother, so
he understands that. There you go. Thanks for the correction on that. But as a big brother, I grew up with the big brother program going on. That's when somebody kind of adopts a kid. Is that right, William? They kind of, not adopt them, but they go spend
they
time
take
with
them under their wing,
yeah.
and
take
and,
them out and,
yeah.
and make them feel like that they're loved, they're appreciated,
right.
and. What a unique man here that
yes.
is willing, and all of these attributes and things that he has gone through. And we talk about tough times, make you stronger.
Yeah.
Congressman Marino, through the tough times, he's an inspiration. He was an inspiration, Lisa, to me and you. We were just like, wow.
Yes.
What's going on here? But something happens inside of a person. Again, as we talked earlier, that the purpose begins to be fulfilled. And folks, Congressman Marino, William, he has a lot of bills that he currently, and Cliff and Lisa, that he's currently doing things. I know he said he wanted to make it where funding was set up, where folks could have money for research. I think he said he wanted to set that up so they could do research on different diseases,
yes,
different illnesses. Congressman is not known for wanting to get money for issues like this. But Congressman Marino is actually doing that.
Yes, he is.
On one of the bills, it believes the Review Act of 2015 says requires a federal agency to postpone the effective date of high-impact rule pending judicial law, permits such a rule to take effect 60 days after it is published in the Federal Register. If no person seeks judicial review of such rule during such period, defines a high-impact rule as any rule that Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs determines may impose an annual cost on the economy of at least $1 billion. That was co-sponsored, Lisa, with Bob Goodlatte. Different things to hold people accountable and to give different options available in situations like that. But he has so many different bills that he works on. Lisa, we talked earlier in regards to the Chronic Kidney Disease Improvement in Research and Treatment Act of 2015. Different things that deal with Social Security, Medicare, all these things. And the chronic kidney disease is, of course, is when there's just chronic. It's just really a bad situation. It's not something that comes for a couple of months. This is chronic
yeah.
care, and that requires some serious money, William.
Yes, it does. I mean, you're talking about a lot of money to research, you know, and then also, you know, on the research side of it,
sure,
you know what he's saying, but also, you know, how he's looking at the fact that a lot of families are going to incur costs.
Absolutely.
So he's dealing with the big issue, which is health care and the cost of health care, and that these families, the families that he's caring about, like us,
right,
that are saying, you know what, these people are struggling to make ends meet, period. So now all of a sudden they've got these added health costs. Their loved one, who is probably the breadwinner, are contributing, you know, is now, you know, may suffer a little bit. They may suffer and might not be able to make it to work. So the household is being impacted. So he's looking at a lot of things like this, you know,
go ahead, William.
No, so but he's also looking at other issues. I mean, from Homeland Security, he's dealing with issues there. He's also dealing with regulatory reform. He's got a lot of things going on.
Well, on the previous one, the Chronic Kidney Disease Improvement in Research and Treatment Act of 2015, 51 co-sponsors, 32 Democrat, 19 Republicans. Speaks to Congressman Marino being able to reach across the aisle.
That's right.
That's awesome. I mean, and
right.
this is something you have to have an ability to work with others,
yes,
to make things happen, definitely in Congress. And you got 51 co-sponsors to say we are behind you, 19 Republicans, but 32, and Congressman Marino is Republican.
Yes.
So 32 Democrats jumped on board on this.
Almost double
his own party.
Almost double his own party.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
it speaks to his leadership. That is outstanding. And folks, the list goes on and on what Congressman Marino is doing. And I'll tell you, it's affecting every part, not only of what he strives in Pennsylvania with his constituents. Folks, the list continues to grow about what Congressman Marino is doing. On the other side of the break, we're going to come back. We're going to get a little bit deeper into some of the things Congressman Marino is doing. And also have an opportunity to go into what you didn't know about the RP6. We'll be going into that as well. Folks, hang on to your seats. And as we come back, Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday, I'll tell you, honoring a legend there on Capitol Hill and someone that is making a true difference across this nation, Congressman Tom Marino. We're coming right back. This is Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday.
Sitting in the prisons of America for nonviolent offenses. That's why I'm asking you to join the American Civil Liberties Union and help us in the fight to end mass incarceration. We spend over $80 billion a year incarcerating people. alternatives to prison, like community service, drug treatment, and rehabilitation, costs less and can turn lives around. It's time for fair justice. It's time for smart justice. And we need your help.
You must have thrown 1,000 pitches teaching him to hit a home run. Spent countless Saturdays running routes so he could learn to hit an open receiver. Endless afternoons teaching him how to hit the three-pointer. But how much time have you spent teaching him what not to hit? Teaching boys that all violence against women is wrong is one of the most important things a man can do. Learn how to start the conversation at teachearly.org. Brought to you by Futures Without Violence and the Ad Council.
You know, I hear constantly when we're on the floor with bills that sometimes are bipartisan, sometimes are not. The president said he's going to veto. I hope that's not the case, because when it comes to saying one is going to, the president's going to veto, and actually doing it are two different things. I hope the president works with us on this, and again, we extend our hand across the aisle here and on the other side of this Capitol to simply say to the regulators, this bill does not want to regulate the regulators. It wants the regulators to use common sense, get input from the American people, the middle class, the people who create jobs, the small businesses, to see what they have to say. You know, when I worked in a factory before I went to college and law school and worked my way up to mid-level management, and when we did things, I brought in everyone, the people that even worked the machine, and we talked about things, and we resolved many, many things, but we got input from everyone. And as far as letters from people who support the bill, I have a list of almost of 159 names and businesses. This was dated February 3rd, 2015, from A to Z, from Adhesive and Sealing Council to Woodworking Machinery Industry Association. And all of these 159 small businesses support this legislation, and I reserve the balance of my time.
The fact,
Mr. Speaker, has been doing some research over the couple of days, and this administration alone has implemented over 75,000 pages of new regulations. Just read some figures earlier on this morning that if we get rid of this ridiculous regulation, and I'm not saying all regulation, we do need oversight and regulation, almost $1 trillion a year will be added to the economy, and almost 1 million people will be added to work on a yearly basis. This is just excellent stuff. I want to give you an example from my district, Pennsylvania's 10th district. And I live in a little village called Cogan Station outside of Williamsport, home of Little League World Series baseball. That I live in the middle of five farms. I've been there for 15 years. And I'll give you an example. Pursuant to the Navigable Waters Act, the Army Corps of Engineers and EPA have said that if it rains and a puddle forms on the farm, in an attempt for this administration to get more control over our lives, because of the Navigable Waters Act, EPA and Army Corps have control now over that farm and can shut it down. Now, I've been there for 15 years in the middle of these five farms, and I have yet to see as much as a rowboat go through. So this is just an example of how ridiculous this legislation can get.
And there you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Spotlight on Capitol Hill. My name is Lamont Banks, along with Lisa Stewart, Cliff Stewart, and William Williams. And folks, if you don't have the energy right now, I tell you, energy's popping here at AJC Radio as we've had the opportunity to highlight a outstanding congressman Congressman Tom Marino. Lisa, man, I'll tell you, I got a good feeling all over in regards to Congressman Marino, a man that is impacting the lives of every walk of life, every situation. There's not too many places that Congressman Marino cannot identify with the American people.
No, there's not. He's just about everybody. He's every man. He just understands every aspect of everyone. He's able to just be understanding of every situation.
Well, I'll tell you what, Lisa, Cliff William, with Congressman Marino in office on Capitol Hill as a congressman, I'll tell you what, I'm optimistic about 2016. Cliff, your thoughts about this this impact that Congressman Marino is actually making across the nation right now?
You see his concern about every person. Look at some of the acts that he dealt with. I mean, he has the he has the SNAP Act where he.
Yeah.
Wants to extend the transparency of the SNAP, and for those who may not know, SNAP is the food stamp,
right?
Act, and he is saying, look, we don't need to get, because there's so many members in Congress saying we need to get rid of it. We just,
right.
Food stamps aren't good. Is that he's saying? No, that's not what we need to do. Food stamps and the SNAP program help out people of every day of life. You're talking about military people,
right,
who need help. You're talking about every person in every walk of life. And again, Congressman Marino understands that, but he's saying this is a program that it needs to have transparency. It needs to be understood so that we can extend what needs to be extended and get rid of the fluff. And speaking of getting rid of the fluff, he has another act where he said it's the one subject at a time act. And I love this one subject at a time, meaning you put in an act, you put in a bill that you want to be law. Let it concern one thing. No more bills that are just full of pork. You're like,
right,
like my bill's for one thing, and then you have all these underlying things,
right,
to try to get it passed. I think that's the most common sense thing,
sure,
on the books to say, let's deal with one issue at a time, sign off on it, and then go to the next one instead of adding pork to all these bills in Congress.
No, absolutely. And folks, make no mistake about it. These are the things that change a nation. These are the things that propel change, that demand change, if you will, for what lies ahead for our children and our grandchildren and generations to come. I think that the passion that Congressman Marino has he made it clear that when he decided to go, he had his children in mind. When he decided to make the run for Congress, he thought of his children, and he said he didn't like the direction the country was going, and he wanted to be there and to be a part of the solution, if you will, William, to bring about these changes. We can talk all the time about what we can and cannot do. Congressman Marino stepped out in a situation and with his wife saying, go ahead and run. And he didn't shy away from it. There are prices. Whenever you stand up to do the right thing, to do something to make a change, to bring about change to not only Pennsylvania, but to a nation. And he said the awesome responsibility, and Lisa and William and Cliff, he spoke to when we were talking about prosecutors and not being accountable. Well, he's a former prosecutor. And he is saying if you're there for a career or anything else, you shouldn't be there.
That's right.
Because it's and when he said that whoever the next president is, the next president must know without a question, without any doubt, he said, make sure you remember you are here to serve.
That's right.
You're a servant
to the people.
Yeah.
How many politicians or presidential candidates think themselves as servants?
Well, he
very few.
This guy is not the norm, just period.
Absolutely.
He's not the norm. Like you said, I mean, he's a former district attorney. He's a former U.S. attorney. So now when you look at that, he's saying, hey, I have to be held accountable.
Exactly.
I am here to serve. These guys do not get these jobs, get these posts, and just sit there and do nothing with it. You have a responsibility to the people that elected you. So the bottom line is, put up or shut up. That's what his wife told him. Listen, you want to do something? Stop hollering at the TV. I mean, that's not going to do anything. You're going to have to throw your hat in the ring and do something about it. And now he's doing it. And I mean, you just you gotta love this guy. You really gotta love this guy. He's there. He's willing to take on any fight. He's gonna fight for the little man. He's gonna fight for the common man. He's gonna deal with, you know, any of the questions and concerns that we have. You know, and like you said, deal. I mean, Cliff brought that up. You know, deal with one issue. Don't bring a bill to the floor that try to put all this stuff underneath it like an umbrella. Deal with one issue, and let's deal with that, and then we can move on to something else. That's what you got to love about it.
No, without question. And it says here that as a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, the Committee on Homeland Security, and the Judiciary Committee, on which he serves as chairman of the Subcommittee on Regulatory Reform, Commercial and Antitrust Law, Congressman Moreno has passed landmark bills. His legislation has benefited citizens in the 10th District and people around the country. It says here that Congressman Moreno has a reputation of getting things done. That's clear in the interview that he had on that he had in the interview he gave us. It says he is diligent in making sure questions and concerns never go unnoticed or overlooked. And I like this. He says he has a robust constituent service team that personally return calls, emails, letters, and social media posts from his constituents. This is a vital aspect of representing the district because it is one of the largest congressional districts in Pennsylvania. You're talking about getting down and getting personal with the folks that sent you to office. He established a team to ensure the best in response. To say, look, I'm here in Congress, but I haven't forgotten you. Right. I'm concerned about what you have to say.
That's right.
Is this, Lisa, this is a rarity.
Yeah, I think he's cut from a different mold than most of the others that you see out there.
That's awesome. And we talked about, again, him being a three-time cancer survivor, proven time and time again that he is a fighter. And that's what you got to have on Capitol Hill. Yes, William.
I think this is one point that I really liked when I was reading this. It says, Tom supports across-the-board tax cuts, rein in spending, term limits for Congress, a strong and technologically superior national defense, single-issue legislative proposals, like Cliff brought up, and congressional power over executive fat. I mean, you know, when you really look at this guy, he is
wow.
he's about bringing it in. I mean, he wants to take our government, take our government and our country to the next level. He's really trying
to do that
with the foundation.
That's awesome. And folks, let's give a shout out to Congressman Tom Moreno, his staff, Ryan. Who I've been working with up there, Lisa.
Yeah.
What a joy and a pleasure to work with him. A dedicated person for the congressman. And
yes,
Congressman Moreno, you couldn't have anybody better in that post than Ryan. Has been a true professional in dealing with a Just Cause and AJC Radio, and we appreciate all that he has done. And we continue to build a relationship with Congressman Moreno and his staff there, as well as several members of Congress, as we continue the journey of Spotlight on Capitol Hill. Tonight, folks, we say thank you and a sincere thank you, and our prayers go out to his family, the Chloe, and the challenges that they face. And we are grateful and so grateful and honored to have had the opportunity, William, to have him on this program and to take the time out of his schedule to think of us. And we appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, join us here every Thursday night at 6 p.m., 8 p.m. Eastern. Join us every Thursday for Spotlight on Capitol Hill, where we will continue to shine the light on members of Congress that are impacting a nation. On the other side of this break, we're coming back with what you didn't know about the IRP6. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of AJC Radio and a campaign that we have started that is underway entitled Spotlight on Capitol Hill. This program is new to AJC Radio, but it is an exciting time when we take a few moments every Thursday evening to highlight members of Congress, their initiatives that are not only important to them, their constituents, and the nation as a whole. We invite you every Thursday to tune in to AJC Radio to hear your congressman or your senator and their initiatives that are here to shape a nation and to bring about change. We invite you cordially, and as we fight for justice, as we seek justice daily, we'll come together as not only the American people. Join us every Thursday for Spotlight on Capitol Hill. God bless you, and as always, God bless America. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Lamont Banks. I'm along with Lisa Stewart, Cliff Stewart, and William Williams. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we ask the question that needs to be answered, and we talk about the perpetrators of justice. We talk about those that have been responsible for the wrongful conviction of the IRP-6. And I'll tell you right now, we will ask the questions. We will get the answers. But this segment is what you didn't know about the IRP-6 story. Tonight we deal with an issue with Darlene Martinez. Is that correct, Lisa?
That is correct.
And she is the court reporter who is in violation of federal law and violation of the Court Reporters Act. Cliff, in this situation, and I'm very familiar with court reporters and when they are told to or given a task to give transcripts, anything along those lines, they have a responsibility, but they become an independent contractor when they begin to take monies to deliver information. In the IRP-6 case, there was information she received payment for as far as providing the transcripts that have been missing in this case that showed the violation of law by federal judge Christine Arguello. Tell the folks a little bit, Cliff, about exactly how that violation occurred.
Well, when you look at the Court Reporters Act and everything that it entails and how it was laid out to say these are not only the responsibilities of the court reporter, but also the rights of the court reporter. In that act, the court reporters were given the right to become independent contractors because of their, you know, basically the load that they were under to say, you know, people rightfully so are saying, hey, right after my case, look, I need to get my transcript for my case. Where is it? So instead of them getting their government pay and saying I'm only working, you know, 9 to 5 and I can't get things
right
done, they were allowed to become independent contractors. As an independent contractor, they were able to contract with any client.
Right.
Have a check cut to them instead of cut to the court.
Personally.
Cut to them personally,
okay,
instead of cut to the court.
Right.
And then they would only receive their salary. They are allowed to get a check cut personally to them,
mm-hmm,
to allow them to say, I can deliver this transcript to any individual that has a right to it.
Right.
I do that on an independent contract.
That's
basis.
Right.
Now, when it comes to that, now your connection with the court has been severed.
Absolutely.
You are an independent contractor. What you do on your own time, you are responsible. You are under contract with whoever that individual or entity is, that now you owe them. You're not doing this under your job as a court reporter as such for the court clerk's office.
Absolutely.
You now are an independent contractor. You sign the contract. The check is cut to you. You owe the person who cut you that check services for that.
Well, services rendered,
exactly,
is what that's for. And I'll tell you, folks, this is violation of law. In this particular case, the government of the United States attempted to represent her. Is that correct, Cliff?
They didn't attempt. What happened when she got sued, a Just Cause paid her for the transcript in the IRP-6 case. Say, hey, we want this transcript. We want to see what Judge Arguello said. She came back with all kind of excuses. But the part that makes this so sickening,
right,
is when a Just Cause sued Darlene Martinez in a civil court to say, deliver to us what we paid you for. The federal government, the U.S. Attorney's Office, came to her rescue and pulled her under the umbrella of, you are now
a federal employee, and we will protect you. Since when does the federal government represent any
independent contractor?
Any independent contractor, any civilian in a court of law? Now you have every attorney, every dollar available to you that's available to the federal government. That is not law. She's an independent contractor. She was supposed to
deliver.
Basically take the brunt of it and say she didn't deliver. Now either deliver or give the money back.
Well, here's here's the difference, Cliff, William, Lisa. You cashed a check.
Exactly.
There it is.
You bought whatever you bought with it, and you cashed it as if you worked for it. If there was a question that the transcript could not be delivered, then why did you cash the check ethically? If you couldn't deliver, the check should have been a just cause. Here is your money back. I cannot deliver that for whatever reason. That's called integrity, ladies and gentlemen.
But
that's called ethics.
But see, this is the problem I have with all this. You robbed not only a just cause, but the guys. You robbed the IRP-6.
Well, to that point, William, really quick, who are the IRP-6? David Banks, Gary Walker, Clinton Stewart, Demetrius Harper, Dave Zerpolo, and Kendrick Barnes. These are not fairy tale characters. These are not fictitious characters. These are real men, real families, real lives that have been affected by the miscarriage of justice. And it started from day one. Now we have Darlene Martinez suffering no consequences. If you take something over the amount of $500, according to law, it is a felony.
That's right.
She took
$10,000.
Yes.
Where's the justice? Where is the prosecution? Ladies and gentlemen of America, the reason the prosecution is not there is for one reason. A cover-up, a conspiracy against the IRP-6.
A brokered deal.
This is a deal. Folks, it is what it is. This isn't HBO. This isn't CNN. This isn't TBS.
And it's not Lifetime Movie Network.
And it's not Lifetime. Ladies and gentlemen, this is real things happening to a nation and to people. If they did it to the IRP-6, who else has suffered at the hand of this corruption? These are perpetrators of justice, ladies and gentlemen. These are those that seek out their prey, if you will, to bring injustice to a nation, to a people, to a family.
But, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm trying to hold on to this, but this is the whole point. This is the thing that's really killing me. Okay, she was paid. She was paid to do a job that she didn't do. She didn't capture the information that she should have, which would have exonerated the guys. This is a business deal. This is a business deal. She reaps from both sides. She's just, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking about this, and I'm sitting there thinking, what, you know, if you buy the services of a court reporter, you buy the story. You buy the story. You can choose, you know, you're buying this. What is in there? What's not there? And then when now it's time to actually say, you know, produce it. Produce the information. Produce what was there, what was said.
Well, William, the bottom line is it's not going to be produced because there are too many skeletons in the closet. There are too many things that unravel here. And if you open that can, you're going to have a mess everywhere. But I'll tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, say that, William, I'm sorry.
It's a mess now.
But I'll tell you right now, we will seek justice for the IRP-6. We'll say their names again. David Banks, Gary Walker, Clinton Stewart, Demetrius Harper, Dave Zerpolo, Kendrick Barnes, who sought out on a mission to embrace the entrepreneur spirit of America, that sought to seek and keep America safe through software innovation. These men have been wrongfully convicted, sitting in federal prison for 3.5 years unjustly. And I'll tell you right now, AJC Radio, we continue to ask the tough questions. We will seek the answers. Go to AJCRadio.com. Go to Just Cause as well. Justcause.org? Is it justcause.com?
a-justcause.com.
a-justcause.com. Go there as well for the for further information on the IRP6. You can also go to freetheirp6.org. That information is there. Folks, it is high time in America that we not sit back and allow the miscarriage of justice to continue. Six men and their families, their lives have been affected in a dramatic way. Who's going to hold? Who's going to light the torch, and who will carry the message? AJC Radio sets out on that journey as we seek justice for the IRP6. Cliff?
I want to say thank you to everyone in the chat room. We appreciate all your comments and your questions. To our production team, Captain Kyle and Dustin Jackson of K&D Productions, helping out Ill Skillers Girl in the control room to make sure you hear what we have to say. Also, I want to say thank you to our production support team. They give us the accurate and up-to-date information so that we can pass that on to you. And to the truth, we know you're out there. We appreciate it.
And make no mistake about it, before we close this program tonight, the perpetrators of justice, they have names. Lisa, who are they?
They are U.S. Attorney John Walsh, Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch, Assistant U.S. Attorney Sunita Hazra, Attorney Greg Goldberg, Federal Judge Christine Arguello, Appellate Judge Jerome Holmes, Appellate Judge Bobby Baldock, Appellate Judge Harris Harp, Federal Judge R. Brooke Jackson, Magistrate Judge Craig Schaefer, Court Reporter Darlene Martinez, FBI Agent John Smith, FBI Agent Robert Moen, Former Federal Agent John Epke, Former Federal Agent Gary Hilberry, Attorney Thomas Goodread, Attorney Clifford Barnard, Attorney Thomas Richard, Attorney Robert Berger, Attorney Mitchell Baker, Attorney Boston Staten Jr., Attorney Rick Kornfeld, Attorney Mark Garrigo, Susan Holland of ETI Professionals, and Samuel K. Thurman.
And thank you for that, Lisa. These are the names you just heard, ladies and gentlemen, are perpetrators of justice. They are carriers of injustice. Know their names and know them well. Join us every week here, every Tuesday and Thursday evening at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. You can go to ajcradio.com. Also find our programming on live365.com. Also, the Progressive Radio Network, PRN, Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Also on 405 Media, and that's on demand as well as iTunes as well. And continue to go out there and research the IRP6 story. Folks, it is compelling, it is informative, and it definitely should cause you to be outraged at the injustice that is running rampant in this nation. And we appreciate the folks for joining us tonight. We also want to take a special moment to thank Congressman Tom Marino for allowing us, again, to interview him, for sharing in his story, Lisa, on this program. What an outstanding gentleman that's making some differences across this country,
yes.
And we appreciate that. Also, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and I'll tell you what, you can go to, again, the website, www.a-justcause.com, also www.freetheirp6.org, and www.ajcradio.com. And we appreciate that. And folks, we will continue to seek justice and bring the message of justice all around the world. And join us next Tuesday as we remember the life of Dr. Martin Luther King. Where are we today as a nation, as a people, as justice again and the vision of Dr. King hangs in the balance? And it is questionable whether we have arrived. It is very clear we have not. Join us. That's going to be a very, very special program as we take a look at today's events, things that happen in our world, and what happened back then, and how they parallel each other. Join us next Tuesday, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. We'll see you next time on AJC Radio. For myself, Lamont Banks, Cliff Stewart, Lisa Stewart, and William Williams, and the AJC Radio team, good night. We'll see you next time.
Good night.
Good night.
Do you solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that you would take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which you are about to enter, so help you God. Congratulations, you're now members of the 100.
I'm certainly not going to be 3.5 minutes at this point, and I had some notes, but that's what I usually do when I get up, the notes go away, and I try and speak from the heart. I've been watching this, and it's very frustrating. And first, let me say, there's no one that should go without health insurance. I have a daughter who has a disease for which there's no cure. None whatsoever. She will be lucky to live to her late 20s. So it's critically important that there be a method by which we can get some help to pay for treatment, not only for her, but for every child out there and every human being. But aside from that, I go to the gym every morning at about 6 o'clock, and I work out with my colleagues on the other side of the aisle and on my side of the aisle. The camaraderie is extraordinary. We joke with each other. We help each other in the weight room. We spot each other. We talk about our families. We even talk about politics. But it's civil. And I would really like to see the whole floor see how we operate in the American people, to see how we communicate with one another in that gym in the morning. And I'm asking that every person be civil. We've been called, Republicans have been called, Nazis, terrorists, people that don't want to take care of children and seniors. And that's wrong. We can have ideals, we can have a belief, but we need to be civil about it. And we need to give an example and show an example to the American people that we're adults, that we can have different views, and that's what a democracy is about. But we don't have to make it personal. We don't have to grandize it to get attention to call names. So I'm saying to my colleagues, I'm reaching across. I have not done that. I will not do it. I will criticize my colleagues if they do it. But let's use this moment to show to the American people that we can have a dialogue, we can have arguments, but to keep it civil, because when it's all, the dust is settled, America is going to be better for it, and Congress is going to be much better for it.